All right, beautiful day for baseball. We're joined by one of my dear friends and a wonderful baseball analyst and one of the great storytellers of the game and part of the A's radio and TV broadcast. That's Ray Fosse.
For the Oakland A's.
That's right.
You got to put
Did
that
I
in.
Did I say the A's?
No, you didn't. You were avoiding that.
I didn't avoid it. You're one of my dear friends. And,
you're a good man. You're a good
I started with you, and we've done so many things together. Yeah. And here we are looking out at a beautiful day for baseball.
It is great. And, you know, talking baseball, that's a good opening because there's a talking baseball shop out in Danville. Ken Bryson is the owner.
I remember him.
That's right. And it's nice that you have talking baseball because you're baseball Marty. So
well, that's
good.
It. And I used to have right off the bat. And
that's
then we
right.
went to talking baseball.
Right.
This is my 20th season now. You're my idol because you've done this 30 years now of the warm-up show. 32nd year of the warm-up show. How about that?
Except I have more video. I have more interviews than you. So
maybe.
If you go to the Hall of Fame, then I should be there too because I
– Maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
How many do you have?
I've probably got 5,000.
Well,
because don't forget, I was doing an hour show, so I do two or three a day.
Right. Well, yeah. I've got over six,
but
that doesn't even count my post game that I did.
All right. Well,
anyway, it's great to see you as always because I know it's like the late Bill Rigney and like yourself. You know, we keep all of our interviews, and I ran a Bill Rigney interview that I'd done in 1999. I ran it Sunday. So like you, you have these kind of put away, and they're there if you need them. Baseball was Bill Rigney. Whenever Rig would show up with a Panama hat at the spring training at old Municipal Stadium, you know, we'd sit there and say, well, okay, spring training, baseball started, there's Rig. And he was so much life, and I thought it was appropriate because it sounded just like you and I are talking right here, right?
I love it.
He's a good man.
It's great. I love doing these things. And, of course, Rig managed the Giants the Twins, and he managed while you were playing.
Yes. And actually, he started playing with the New York Giants, played against DiMaggio.
Called him the Cricket.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
and,
his nickname.
The Cricket and DiMaggio and Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stories, and that's what's great about baseball, as you well know, Marty, because you do a wonderful job. But there's a tremendous past that we can never forget, and there's a future, of course, and there's always the present, always the future, you know, coming. But such a great history of the game of baseball. And on the positive side from the A standpoint, and I know this is a giant show, but Dave Cavill has done, the president of the Athletics, talking to David Rednetti, who's the vice president of the stadium operations, he said he has gone to Dave Cavill and says, well, what about it? Do it. What about it? Do it. You know, so it's like, let's go. We need to build this up. And he wants to go out with Miguel Duarte, who is his assistant. He said, we have to sit in right field. And I said, when you go out there in right field here, those fans are going to love you because the signs that have been out there said, stay in Oakland. Well, you're rooted in Oakland now, and you're going to stay here. So they're going to love seeing Dave Cavill out there. And he'll be out in right field sometime before this season's over. And I think it's what he has done already is tremendous for the city of Oakland, and, of course, the Oakland A's being at the Coliseum.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait for the new stadium.
Absolutely. It's going to happen.
It's going to be great. And for me, using the analogy, it's like Disney movie where the little birds are flying again and everyone's smiling and the sun is out. And, you know, the flowers are blooming having him here. And I really think it's quite a difference.
You know, and seeing Dave Stewart downstairs, he was just meeting with him this morning. Dennis Eckersley's coming on board.
He's a special assistant.
Well, he's going to have a bobblehead. Eck is not leaving Boston. They take care of him very well. But it's good that Dave Cavill is realizing the great history of the Oakland A's. And, you know, this is the 50th year of the A's in Oakland. And you look back in the great history back in the 70s, the 80s, and the early 2000s. You know, there have been great eras. And I think they're all going to be recognized because of Dave Cavill.
I love it. I think it's terrific. And I think
somebody like you would.
You and I enjoy it because we've recorded a lot of that history.
Exactly. No, it's great.
Yeah, Ray Fosse with us. I'm going to do a special segment every Sunday, about a five-minute segment, with one of my conversations with Bill King.
Ah, good.
Because Bill, of course, thanks to Ken Korak and many others, is getting the Fort C. Frick Award for Excellence in Baseball Broadcasting. Your thoughts about Bill getting the award and working with Bill?
I think it's long overdue. And I heard someone say several years ago, and they said, well, if there are guys up for the vote and they're deceased, you know, let's wait. And I said, why? If the guy deserves to be there, who cares? Because he deserves it. And I think working with Bill King and Lon Simmons when I first started, I mean, to be sitting in the middle of those two guys, I mean, I was in heaven. I mean, just listening to those two guys, different ways that they broadcast. Bill had the binder that was about a foot thick, and Lon would just highlight the whole package and say, you know, talk, here's baseball. So they were different, but always great to be with. But I'm so happy for Bill, because thinking back to the 20th consecutive win, and Bill and I were doing it, doing the game, and, you know, you're 11-1 or something, all of a sudden you're going to win, and it's the 11-11. I told Bill, I said, if this goes extra innings, I'm done. I said, you're the man. You're going to call it. And as it turned out, Hatteberg hit the home run. But but just a great, great person. And, you know, very intimidating from my standpoint in the early years that I worked with him, because he would look out on the field and he would start talking. It was like it was scripted. And I'd put my lineup in. I'd look up and I'd say, he's not reading. He's talking. And just an amazing gift of the vocabulary. And he'd always tell my wife, Carol, he'd say, you know, if Ray could learn one word a day, he'd be great. I'm going, geez. You know, and so, but he was brilliant. But he studied. The one time, after being intimidated, I've told it before, but, you know, I would sit there. And I said something before the play happened. And he said, how did you see that? How did you know that? And I said, well, it's just being up here as a catcher, whatever. And from that point on, it was, hey, you know, kind of get involved, which was different, because in the early part of the game, Bill King, and I'm not going to say early on either, but Bill King in the early part of the game, it was like he had to get everything established. And Ken Korak, who is sitting here.
Before the lights take effect.
Exactly. But he's great broadcaster, and you kind of set the scene because it is radio, and you have to tell people what's happening at the ballpark. It's not like TV where they can see it, which is great. But, you know, these guys are masters at that. I mean, with the vocabulary and all those things. I remember sitting with Wayne Walker because Bill was doing football, basketball or something, and I was going to fill in. So I'm sitting between Wayne and Bill on a game. And so Bill throws out one of these words, and Wayne looks at me and goes, I don't know what he's talking about. but that was the vocabulary that Bill had. And the captain sitting behind us has got that same vocabulary. And so it's a part of the game that's outstanding. But to do play-by-play on radio, you have to be the master. And Bill did it on TV, but it had to be different for him as play-by-play because people can see versus painting the picture, which he was wonderful at, not to mention he was a tremendous artist, too.
You know,
that he did not want anybody to know about, you know, but he was tremendous, and just all the great things that he did. He could care less about a car, about how he dressed, except when he went with Nancy to the opera when he had the tuxedo. But as far as a car, he told me one time, he said, you know, I bought kind of a low mileage, and I felt pretty good, and it got rear-ended me. I said, I'm done with that. You know, I'm not going to buy something new whenever somebody's going to hit me. But I'm very happy for him. Very happy for him.
Bruce McGowan tells a story that he gave Bill gave him a ride.
Yeah, with the floorboard.
Right, and Bruce looked down. There was a hole in the floorboard. And he said, "Gee, how long have you had this car, Bill?" Bill said, "A week."
That was Bill.
He had just bought it.
No, there are some great stories, but just a tremendous broadcaster, and I think it's great that he's there.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm going to do this every Sunday. I've got a little 5-minute segment, and
that's great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. He never wasted a word. When I listen to these clips, it's like you. Mm-hmm. Every word is important.
Sure.
And that's what Bill was. Every word meant something.
Well, you know, what's great about it is that Lon's there, and Bill's there now, and, you know, very deserving. And I think it couldn't – I mean, even talking to Bob Uecker, we saw – Ken and I saw him in Mesa, and I know Ken – because those guys vote, and he said, hey, Billy should be there, and he's right. Bill King should have been there long ago, but he was how many broadcasters can you say that the best in football, basketball, and baseball?
He was
a standalone when it came to that, because, you know, all his great calls in football with the Raiders and the Warriors and doing all three sports at the same time. I mean, it's just an incredible workaholic in a sense, but brilliant in everything that he did.
Yeah, he would have been a great trial lawyer. I told him that so many times because he was so prepared.
Did he tell you you'd be a great broadcaster?
Well, I will tell you this. He was very good to me.
Yeah.
And the door was always open, which wasn't always open to everybody. And he liked what I did.
Yeah.
You know, when I went out and did these interviews, he sat there and listened to all of them, and he made me much better.
Well,
he was very good to me.
The one thing about Bill, I mean, you know how hard he worked.
Yeah.
He'd be in the booth, and this is when we had the cassette tapes, and now it's advanced to just the digital and all that. But I don't know that he would like it today, because whenever I would bring the tape up and have to run through the whole thing, he'd listen to it then, and then listen to it again as it played in the pregame. And it was just like everything that he could grasp and try to learn about whether it be a player or somebody – And but you know, with him, it was always an interview, post game and pregame. And I, you know, I think there was like 10, 12, 14 games, something consecutive lost on the road. I said, get to know your visiting players, because Bill said, you're going to do an interview, aren't you? But he was brilliant, great, and I couldn't be happy for him. I guess the only sad part, he's not here to really enjoy it. And on the other hand, he probably, like Lon, would have said, I don't deserve to be there, whatever.
That's
but
right.
They both deserve to be where they are, and unfortunately they're not here. But we all think about them and
every day can
never forget about it. And then Holy Toledo and the Bill King.
That's great.
You know, we carried a bobblehead of his, and, you know, I asked Ken, I said, what happened to it? Because when, hey, we need some luck, push that button, and here's Bill King's call and his bobblehead, which had the sound on it.
I can't wait till tomorrow for our first one. We'll do it tomorrow. All right, Ray Fossey.
We're going to do it Monday because we're off tomorrow.
All right. Well, you guys get to go sleep late. We're working.
Can't
we
do that.
We don't miss
on Arizona days. Time.
We don't miss many days. Yeah. We got the Final Four to deal with on Monday.
That's right.
All right. Opening day. Your thoughts a little bit about opening day as a player. Your first opening day, what was it like?
Oh, that's so long ago. It would have had to have been 1969. But, you know, I think being able to say, in Cleveland, before they had the rails up on everything, to be able to say, I have to walk up the stairs and walk out to the line without falling down. That was probably the one thing.
Fall down?
Yeah, he did. but I think opening day, opening night, wherever it might be, and that's why I know Ken's done a great job promoting, because they're going to honor Bill King and Ricky Henderson on Monday night here. And, you know, you need to come out and enjoy it, because there's only one. You know, there's only one opening night, and all the festivities. And I know in Cleveland we might have 70,000 for opening night and 7,000 the next day, and, you know, barely draw 800,000 people. But that was then, and now it is the greatest night, just with everything. And I tell people, get there early. Ken's talking about gates open, what time? 4:30 for a 7 o'clock game. It's unheard of. Yes, right.
PM.
But it's unheard. They get to actually watch batting practice because the gates open that early. So it's a great evening of baseball, and it's almost like, let's get it over with and get down for the other 161.
Well, Dave Henderson, you say, fill in all the columns.
Right.
You know, and in the back of the baseball card.
Right.
You want to fill them in as quickly as you can.
And that's the key.
But there's that optimism. Look, here's the A's. Who knows what's going to happen in the division? The Giants, who knows what's going to happen? But we know for 6 months we're going to get a story every day, and every ball club in every city has that optimism of what's going to happen.
Well, and that's the great part about it. I agree with you, because I know when I played in Cleveland and we were destined for last place on opening day.
What's the best you ever did in Cleveland?
I don't know, but I remember Jack Brohammer. We were in first place early in the season, and we're going to the West Coast. He said, oh, we're going to win the division. I said, bro, be quiet, man. We came out West, couldn't win a game, and all of a sudden, you know, plummeted. But it wasn't very good. Team-wise was, you know, just never really had. We had at a time that we'd see somebody come in on the 15th. I said, must be payday. Here comes a new investor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty bad during those periods of time. I mean, didn't draw any people. And, you know, at the time, Marty, you remember, you could draw 800,000 people and break even.
That's right.
800,000. Now that wouldn't even pay salaries.
The payroll was probably 500,000.
Yeah. You know, Charlie had an entire world championship team for less than $1 million.
Yeah.
The whole payroll. Less than $1 million.
And he had to play Gene Tennyson dog food for his dog.
But also in the upper deck in left field here, we're playing the World Series, and we came out on the field because that was our bonus. World Series check. Look up, and the whole section's empty. Charlie forgot he had the tickets. They were in the vault. You know, and we're saying, wait a minute, look at all those seats that are empty, you know.
Right.
But that was great. But it was great to start with Cleveland, and I was the old school of collecting baseball cards and seeing my idols like Musial stay with the Cardinals his whole career. That's what I thought you did. And then, of course, free agency and all those other things happen and getting traded. But, you know, I played at a time when I thought I was going to be a Cleveland Indian my whole life.
Yeah.
And Carolina ended up buying a townhouse there, and then I'm traded to Oakland. Best thing that ever happened, because I'm still out here. But that was a great time, and to be able to say – I signed a professional contract and playing baseball and being able to do that. But one of the funny things, when they used to have the Saturday game of the week, and I can't remember who started, but I was in the dugout, and I ended up going to the game. So pitcher throws, I throw to second, and the umpire taps me on the shoulder, and he says, see that red light over there? Until that light goes off or on, and says, we can't start because that's TV. And I went, wow. You know, there as a young kid. But that's what I learned about TV, that they control the pace of the game, because they're in a commercial break. And when that guy over there points his finger and says, you can play, you can play. And that was it.
Well, it's great to have you on. I love.
You're a good man, Marty. You're a good man.
No, I appreciate it. And we got so much more to do, and we got to sit down and do some more.
We'll do it
during the year.
We'll do it. You're a good man. Always
all
good
right,
to
thanks,
see you. I love that World Series ring too.
Thank you very much. You got a few of them as well.
Good man.
All
thank
right,
you, Marty.
That is Ray Fossey. More coming up in the Sports Leader.